Good to be back in the house of the Lord. We got out in town yesterday and we got out and did a little bit of shopping, getting out of the house a little bit. And the Lord blessed us with a beautiful day, and He's given us another beautiful day today. Amen. I'm thankful for that. If you got your Bibles, I think I'm going to start in Romans chapter 11. I was pondering this week on what the Lord had me to preach. Like I told Gary, I said that I've been reading one place and I kind of got a message from there, but the Lord usually gives me some other scripture to go with to kind of like re-emphasize that point. And this is where I think that He wants me to be. I feel in my spirit that He wants me to be and wants me to preach out of. And the main meat will probably be in a different place, but I wanted to get this as a good background first. Y'all be much in prayer for me. My allergies have been giving me crazy, and my throat's drying up and everything, but we'll do the best we can, and hopefully preach the word, and it'll be received today on good ground. Bible says, I'm going to start in verse 11, or verse 1 there in chapter 11. I'll be skipping around just a little bit. Don't want to read this whole thing. But it says in verse 1, it says, Paul talking here, he says, I say then, hath God cast away His people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away His people, which He foreknew. Wot ye not that the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men, who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so, then at this present time there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Skip over to verse 11. Paul says, I say then, have they stumbled, talking about Israel again, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their salvation is come unto the Gentiles, that's you and me, for to provoke them, the Jews, to jealousy. Skip down to verse 16. For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy, and if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches are broken off, talking about Israel here, and thou, talking about the Gentiles, the Christians, being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and the fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. That will say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off. And thou standest by faith, be not high-minded, but fear. For if God, listen to this, for if God spare not the natural branches, that's Israel, take heed lest He also spare not thee. That's the Gentiles, that's the church. Behold therefore the goodness and severity of God on them which fail severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in His goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. That's all I'm going to read for right now. Let's go to the Lord in prayer one more time. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for this day. Lord, we thank You for the opportunity to get up here and stand up behind the pulpit, Lord. We pray, Lord, dear God, that You'll remove from us, Lord, every wicked thing, Lord, dear God, that may be between us and Thee, Lord, that You would sanctify us, Lord, dear God, to preach Your word, to be able to guide this flock here today, Lord, according to Your will. God, if they be fed, Lord, dear God, with good spiritual meat, that their ground would be fallowed and would be cut up, Lord, and would be tilled, Lord, dear God, to receive the engrafted word which is able to save their souls. Lord, let this seed be, Lord, dear God, planted, Lord, that it may spring up forth, Lord, and bear much fruit for Thee. Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Now, we talk here, the Bible is here talking about Israel. How Israel, because of their unbelief, amen, they were cut off for a little bit, but they're still the original tree. They're still the tree, and the root of salvation comes from the offspring of Jesse, and that was David. And then down through the line, we find Jesus in that lineage. And we find here that He's telling them that God has not cast off Israel forever. He's not cast off His people forever. There's a remnant that remains here. He used Elijah there in the cave, to give him an example of the remnant of Israel that remained. Now, Israel, back at that time, they had wicked kings, King Ahab at that time and his wife Jezebel, and all of Israel was against the prophets, they was against Elijah, and he was talking about them when he said, they have sought to kill me and to take my life. But God said, there's still 7,000 I've got reserved, amen, that are on your side, that are in the way of the Lord, and they've not bowed the knee unto Baal, no matter what their government, the government said, no matter what the kingdom said, no matter what the king himself declared, amen, they've not bowed the knee to that false pagan god Baal. Amen, but he said here that Israel has not been cast off forever. Amen, there's a time that we're going through right now. Amen, that Israel is still seeking after a Savior, still seeking after a Messiah, but you know what? He's already come. They've rejected him time and time again, and that's why he sent his son to die on an old rugged cross. Amen. So me and you could be grafted into that old wild tree, that old tree. See, we're the wild olive tree. We're the wild branch. And if you go in the garden, you go into planting, you know what it means to graft in one plant with another, and you have a different kind of fruit. He's talking here about the Gentiles being grafted into that original tree. But I want you to notice here very closely, and I pointed it out back in verse 21, for if God spared not the natural branches, that's Israel. He said, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. Amen. He's talking to the church there. He's talking to the saved. He's talking to the born again. Amen. Take heed that he not spare thee. Amen. Because of your own unbelief. Amen. He says here, amen, we're going to have goodness toward God if we continue in his goodness. Amen. It's up to us if we want to continue in God's goodness. We want to continue in his plan of salvation. Amen. But if we don't, we've got to take heed because we'll also be cut off. Now the message that God had given me this morning, Lord be my helper, amen, the thought that I had this morning as I was starting the water for the shower, I went to bed last night praying, God, you know how to help me, you got to show me what message you need me to preach this congregation. Amen, as I turned on the water, amen, for the shower this morning, the thought came to my mind, the church is no exception, amen. Amen, I want to preach to you this morning about the church is no exception. Amen, God expects of us greater things. Amen. If we expect to do greater things for God, he expects greater things of us. Amen. Don't think it's weird that God would expect things of Israel and not expect things of his church. Amen. The church is no exception. God is no respecter of person. When Jesus comes back for a bride, he's going to come back for a bride that's without spot and without blemish. Amen. If we find ourselves out in the world, dirtying ourselves up in the mud, in the pig pens of this world, we're going to find ourselves being cast out. Amen. Amen. Over here at Exodus is what I was thinking of this week. Amen. Me and my wife have been watching some religious movies here a lot lately. Amen. And we got to wanting to watch the Ten Commandments. I don't know if any of you ever watched that, but that had Charlton Heston in there, and he was Moses. Amen. And I advise you to read your Bible because not everything in that movie is biblical. There's some things they had to add for story's sake so that people could stay interested in it. Very interesting things, but it's not exactly according to the way the Bible is written. A lot of it is. But amen, we was reading that, we was watching that, and I began to think, you know, I wanted to go back and remind myself and kind of review what things took place. Amen, just because a movie says it don't mean it's true. Amen, but I went back and I started studying and reading in Exodus again, and it just blew my mind. Amen. It's all amazing how you can read the Bible and you go back and read again and new things are revealed to you all the time. But when I began to read about Moses and about how he was over in the land of Egypt and how he decided to go back with his Hebrew brothers and his sisters and how God had chosen him, Moses didn't think much of himself. Amen. He stuttered. He had a problem with his tongue. He had a problem with his speech. He gave all kinds of excuses to God, but God said, you need to be the one to go down there and say, to Pharaoh, let my people go. We find Moses there, as he's dealing with Israel, he's trying to be their deliverer. He's trying to be the one to get them out of Egypt, and God chose him to do that. Amen, but we find later on, as they got out through Egypt, there were so many miracles, it just amazed me. I never really realized how many miracles had been performed in the plagues and in other things that are in there in the book of Exodus. But we find all these different plagues that come upon them. We find the frogs, the water being turned to blood. We find the dust being turned to lice, and their cattle being stricken with boils, and the hail coming from the sky and having the fire run along the ground. All kinds of things God tried to do to get their attention, but they still wouldn't heed the word of the Lord. I find that's very interesting because when God got the Israelites into the wilderness, He tried to get their attention many times, but they still were stubborn against the Lord. You see, Israel was no exception to the judgment of God. Israel was God's people. But I want you to find out here, as we're about to read, when Moses went up to the mountain to receive a word from the Lord, he was there 40 days and he was there 40 nights. He did that twice, by the way. Second time he went up 40 days and 40 nights and fasted. But the first time it says he was in the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. And while he was gone, we're going about to read what Israel done in his absence. Amen. Exodus chapter 32. I'll give you a moment to turn there while I take me a sip of water. I want you to pay close attention to this. Moses was a shepherd. Exodus chapter 3, you'll find him on the backside of the desert keeping his father-in-law's sheep. Now Moses becomes a new shepherd. And now we find the shepherd is absent. Pay close attention to that. The shepherd is no longer there. He's absent. Chapter 32 of Exodus. Probably skip around here a little bit too. And he said, when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as is Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. Already, they're forgetting the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the one that brought them out with a mighty hand of Egypt. Amen. They lacked for nothing. Amen. They took all the spoils of Egypt. They had gold. They had silver. They had precious stones. Amen. As they walked, they got to the Red Sea and God had parted the waters. As I sung this morning, God delivered them again. Amen. And we find that there was a pillar of fire to guide them by night and a pillar of cloud to protect them by day. The Egyptians couldn't even come close to them because God stood between them and Israel. And as they come through that Red Sea, God collapsed it upon Pharaoh and told him, you'll never see his face again. This is the God that they're fixing to betray here. He said, let's just make our own gods, and they'll go before us. And it says in verse 2, Aaron said to them, break off the golden earrings, which are in the ears of your wives and your sons and your daughters. Bring them unto me. This is the blessing that God blessed them with. They're going to use it for a pagan image here. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool. For he had made it a molten calf. And they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Giving credit to a false god. When Aaron saw it, this is Aaron, Moses' brother, by the way. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation, said, tomorrow is a feast unto the Lord. They rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Verse 9 says, and the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. And Moses, we find, begins to plead with the Lord not to do such a thing to Israel, or that the Egyptians would talk about God not being able to deliver them. We found here, verse 15, if you go down a little bit further, Moses turned and went down from the mount, and the two tables of the testimony were in his hand. The tables were written on both their sides, on the one side, and on the other they were written. These are the two tablets of the Ten Commandments here. And the tables were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God, graven upon the tables. We find that God Himself wrote these Ten Commandments. The first version one here, because we'll find here in a minute, Moses breaks them. In verse 19 it says, and it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh to the camp, he saw the calf and the dancing. And Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands, and he brake them beneath the mount. And he took the calf which they had made, and burned it in the fire, and ground it to powder, and strawed it upon the water, and made the children of Israel to drink of it. And Moses said to Aaron, what did this people unto thee, that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? And Aaron said, let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people, that they are set on mischief. He's already laying blame. But they said unto me, make us gods, which shall be before us. For as to this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. And I said to them, whoever has any gold, let them break them off. So they gave it to me, and I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf. Oh, they just out of a miraculous came this calf out of this all this gold. It just appeared, Moses. Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto them. And he said to them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side, and go in and out from the gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. Now I want you to notice this. This is not just a broad sense of brother and a broad sense of neighbor, like we say, well, you're my brother, you're my brother. This is probably literal. Every man, every Levite, probably had to go out and slay somebody that was kin to him because they had disobeyed the Lord. Slay every one man, slay his brother, slay your neighbor. And he says also to go out and slay every man his companion or his friend. So no doubt the Levites had a hard decision here. They probably had to go out and find somebody that was kin to them, that was their neighbor, and that was a friend of them, and slay them because they disobeyed the Lord. This is the price of disobedience against God. And said the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses. And there fell the people that day about 3,000 men. 3,000 men. I want you to notice that. There's many other times that you'll read in the Bible where God had to destroy most of the people that was there in Israel in the first place because they murmured a complaint against Moses. In Numbers chapter 16, you'll find where the sons of Korah came up against Moses and questioned his authority to lead the people. And because of that, the ground opened up and swallowed 200-something thousand, I believe it was. And then there's a plague that came upon Israel. And Aaron had to stand between the plague and the people. And there was still a lot more that died. And if you continue reading on to the end of this chapter, there's another pestilence that plagues the people because of this. I want you to know, folks, the church is no exception to God's judgment. Amen. If you find yourself out there in the world and down in the world like these people were, at first they followed Moses. At first they followed the shepherd. At first they followed the one that God had sent to deliver them out. But when the shepherd was absent, the saying goes, when the cat's away, the mice will play. And when the shepherd was gone, they had no leader. And we find that they begin to dabble in the things of the world. They begin to try to find somebody or something to lead them in the way they should go. And they went against God's commandment in the first place. They forgot what God's man had told them. And they forgot to obey the law. They forgot to obey the things that they had learned hitherto. We read just a minute ago about Israel being the branch. And we were grafted in. And I want you to put in mind here, I may go to this other verse here in a minute. I may just go ahead and tell you a little bit about it. But Jerry's preached it many times on the talents. Well, before the talents, in that same chapter, you'll find the five wise virgins and the five foolish virgins. And it said there was a very key word there. It said there's a bridegroom that was coming. Bridegroom that was making the cry, and the cry came at midnight. And so all those virgins, I believe, was probably candidates to be the bride. Amen. And we find that the virgins that were foolish didn't have enough lamps for their didn't have enough oil for their lamps. And they began to beg and ask of the virgins that had enough oil, give us some of your oil. But my friend, it don't work that way, amen. If we're going to go to heaven, we've got to go there between us and God, between us and Christ. I can't give you a little bit of Jesus' blood from what I've got, amen. It's got to come straight from Him. Amen. And they begin to beg and say, we want to be able to have your oil. They said, not so. There might not be enough for both of us. So we find that the five foolish virgins went out. They began to try to buy some oil. By the time they got back, the door was shut. Amen. It was closed. And they beat and banged. No matter how much they cried, the door would not be opened. Amen. Those were people that were clean. Those were people that thought they had it together. Amen. Today the church, amen, needs to wake up and realize that God is on His way. The bridegroom is about to shout. He's about to shout with the voice of an archangel. Amen. He's about to come. Amen. The bridegroom's call is going to be made. Amen. And in the church, amen, the true church is going to go up and be together forever with the Lord. And we to make sure, amen, that while the pastor's gone, while the shepherd's gone, while Jesus is still tarrying, we don't find ourselves dabbling in the world. We don't find ourselves dabbling, amen, what we want. You notice what happened there? The people began to talk to Aaron. They began to say, well, here's what we want. We want you to make us a golden calf. We want you to make us some gods. Here's what we think is best for us. But I'll tell you what, friends, amen, what they need to realize, what they should have realized, it was what was best for them was continue on while Moses was absent in doing what Moses had already told them. And this is a church, it's very easy for the devil to slip in. Amen, to be able to, just like he did with Adam and Eve, that forked tongue go wagging and begin to doubt what God has promised you. Begin to doubt the thing that you've been told. Begin to start making excuses. Amen. We need to make sure that we're on the fire. We're talking about old hymns. There's that old song, Keep on the Fire Line. I've heard Rita sing it many times. If you're in the battle for the Lord and right, just keep on the fire line. Amen. As a church, we need to stay on the fire line. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus. Amen. And not worry about what the world's doing. Amen. I tell you what, we can expect the world to act like they're going to act. But it's up to us to be the Christians of the world, to be the one that's a city that's set on a hill. Amen. Which cannot be hid. Amen. We're the light of the world and we're the salt of the earth. And if we lose our Savior, it's fit for nothing but to be trodden underfoot of men. People are so worried about offending each other today. This society we live in makes me sick. All this political correctness, they don't want to hear the truth. They want to hear tickling ears. They got tickling ears, like the Bible says. Amen. But if we're the salt of the earth, we should have a little bit of savor to us. Amen. But I tell you what, we need to make sure that we're on the fire line for God. Because the church is no exception to the judgment of God. Yes, the church is the bride of Christ. But when Christ comes, He's going to expect a spotless bride. Amen. He doesn't want anything that's been dabbling in the world. He wants a spotless bride. Amen. If we're under the blood and we repent, amen, the Bible talks about repentance. Amen. And how we're supposed to live our lives daily in the walk with the Lord. As Paul said earlier, amen, if you continue in His goodness. Israel wasn't able to get away with many things. And in today's society we live, just because we're in the age of grace doesn't mean grace is sufficient to cover all our habitual sins that we're going to keep committing just because we want to. I mean, I don't even know why I'm going that way, but there's a lot of that stuff going on today, and they're very badly deceived. If they read their Bible, they'll find there's a lot of ifs. There's a lot of if you continue in the faith, if you continue in His goodness, amen, it's up to us, amen. God just doesn't save us and say, well, you're good to go for the rest of eternity. Amen, we're supposed to live it, amen. We're supposed to live, amen, in the grace of God day by day and make sure that we are, that's why Paul said, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. I encourage you as a church, amen, while the shepherd's gone, amen, he was gone for just a short span of time. For them, it felt like forever. 40 days, that's about five or six weeks. You imagine being there all alone in one place in the wilderness, wondering where your leader went. You probably get impatient too. Hey, it may be 5 or 6 weeks before we get a pastor. I don't know, but don't be like children of Israel. Amen. Hold fast to your faith and believe that God's going to send a man, amen, to be the shepherd. And ask him what God's will. We don't want to be in the same problem in the same boat as Israel was. Well, we'll just do what we want. Oh, we'll just make us a golden calf. That's what the Israelites said. We wouldn't say that today, obviously. We wouldn't go out here and say, all right, pitch all your earrings in the fire here. But a spiritual side, it could be another form of that. Well, I'll just give up hope. We ain't never going to get a pastor. Or, well, this and that, you know. No, God expects us to trust in Him. Amen. And the Bible talks about faith without works and faith with works. We need to couple our faith with our works. We're going to church this morning because we know God's going to send a man because what God's promised us. We're going to go here. We're going to go there. We're going to keep ourselves in revivals. I understand there's virus going around and everything. But you can wear a mask if you want to. Whatever you think needs to be done. But we don't need to find ourselves slack on the Lord. I guess that's the basis of the message today. Trust the Lord to provide the man that He would see fit to pastor the church. And make sure we keep ourselves in the goodness of God while we wait. Wait on the Lord. He'll strengthen our hearts. I ask Melissa to come to piano. And if anybody has a need today, amen, this altar is open. And we continue to need to keep the church in prayer. We need to pray that God's puts an impression on somebody's heart to take this church. I don't want it to catch the future pastor by surprise. I don't want it to be something where we asked for somebody to come and he wasn't even thinking about pastoring, you know. To me, that just doesn't line up. I want God to put us on somebody else's heart just as much as I want him to put somebody else on our heart. I want it to line up. And we need to be much in prayer for that. We need to be faithful to the Lord, be faithful to his word, and just get in there and dig in. You know, it's not going to be easy always, but we can just hold fast to the Lord and hold fast to what we know in the Word and study and continue to read, continue to pray, continue to commune with God. He'll reveal these things to us, what we need to know. He'll supply all our needs according to his riches and glory. If you have a need here today, this altar is open. Song a lot to the sinner coming just as they are, but God wants the church to come just as we are. And sometimes we might not know a whole lot, we might not understand a whole lot, but that's where God expects us to trust him. He uses that weak vessel that we are to confound the mighty. We think of Jesus when he was 12 years old in the temple. He was amazing those that should have been more of a teacher than he was. Not just because he was God and knew these things, but because God used that mortal vessel to allow them to know that God truly was with them. If we just come to the Lord just as we are, saved, and with our limited ability, God knows we're limited. He knows that we're made of flesh. And a lot of times we worry too much about that. We worry about our ability. But God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. Our ability should be in him, not in ourselves. And there's a Bible verse, I think it's in Philippians, talks about now, he that calleth you is faithful to do it. God's doing the work inside. If we just let him, he'll do the work. But as she finishes this song out, I want to thank you for your attention. Thank you for letting me be able to come up here and preach. Seems like it's been a month since I preached. I was in Kentucky last time I preached. I've been singing and been able to take a little bit of a rest and everything, but it feels good to be back up here and preach the Word of God, and I just thank you for your time and attention.